I think you can tell, those of you that are looking in on FaceTime, that being on the inside when you've got all the conveniences is different from being on the outside, and we're trying to make it work, and we'll do better next week, but we're glad to have you here. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 28 is our scripture reading this morning. It says, God revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the last days. Now the phrase last days or latter days or last times is found frequently in the scripture. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 1, Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, Peter said, knowing the first that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now we know that the Bible teaches that there is a division of times. There is the beginning of days, there is the fullness of days, and there is the last days. We're now living in that period of time when God is going to wrap things up in these last days in which we live. And the last days started when Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. He was resurrected, and then he ascended back to the Father in heaven. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Now we're living in that period of time when God is wrapping things up. I don't think there's any of us today, whether you're on FaceTime or whether you're here in the parking lot, that does not believe that we are living in the last days and really in the last hours of the last days, and we need to prepare to meet our Lord. Well, the Bible tells us that in the last days that it will include perilous times. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, I tell you that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then we also know that it says that there will not, he will not come except there be a falling away first. And so we recognize that there's coming a time when folks are falling away from church. And I think that we see that in this day which we live. In 1 Timothy 4 and 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then the scripture tells us that there will be the rise of false prophets, and there will be those that come and scoff and say, where is the promise of his coming? But I remind you that he is coming just like he said that he would. And we need to make preparation for that hour. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and that he is going to rapture the church out. I think we all recognize that that's the next thing on the agenda. And I believe that we're close to the time that the Lord says it's enough and splits the eastern sky, and he comes back, and the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, and I like that word then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now the image that Nebuchadnezzar beheld in his dream depicted what Jesus called the time of the Gentiles. In Luke 21, verse 24, it says, and they shall fall by the way of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles shall be fulfilled. Now, the image that Nebuchadnezzar held in his dreams at the time that Jesus calls the time of the Gentiles, he reveals to us that this is a period of time that took place from 605 BC when Jerusalem was taken by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army, and they were taken captivity, and this period will end when Jesus Christ comes back to establish his kingdom here on earth. Now, during the time of the Gentiles, there will be four successive kingdoms, he tells us here in the book of Daniel, and it's going to be climaxed by a fifth kingdom, and this is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible said he is the one that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, what the king saw in the dream, I think, is amazing. You see, the Lord knows the future just like he knows the past. And he lays out in prophecy that which is going to come. And we find that it was fulfilled just exactly the way God said that it would happen. Well, the king saw a large statue of a man, the Bible says. And this was an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. And it was composed of five different materials. There was gold, there was silver, there was bronze, there was iron, and there was clay. And the Bible said suddenly a stone appeared and came rolling down, and it hit the legs and the feet of the image, and it fell down and was shattered, and it was blown away like chaff in the wind. Then the stone became a huge mountain that filled the earth. Well, the meaning of the dream is found in verses 36 through 45. And the large image represented four great kingdoms. There was, first of all, the Lord, or the head of gold, and this was Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire that lasted from 636 BC to 539 BC. And Jeremiah called this Babylon a golden cup in the Lord's hands. And then the second beast was the breast and the arms of silver. And the this depicts the Medo-Persian Empire from 539 to 330 BC. And Darius the Mede is the one that conquered Babylon, and you can read about that in Daniel chapter 5. And then there's the belly and the thigh of bronze. And this depicts the Grecian kingdom that went from 330 BC to 63 BC. And Alexander the Great established what was probably the largest empire in ancient time. And then the fourth image was the legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. Now, the Roman Empire lasted from 63 BC to 475 AD. Iron represents strength, but clay speaks of just the opposite. Now, Rome was strong in law. They were strong in organization and military might, but the empire also included so many different people groups that this created weakness. Daniel says in Daniel 2:43, the people will be a mixture and will not remain united, and they fell from within. Now, what does it mean? What does it represent? It simply reveals the fact that God is in control. Our God is in control. There's nothing happening in this world today that takes him by surprise. He is in control. Everything is on schedule. And we're moving towards that great climactic event of the second coming of Jesus Christ. You see, he knows the future because he's the one that plans the future. Well, the dream reveals that human enterprises decline as time goes on. You see, we can travel rapidly from one place to another. We could sit down and go across the Atlantic Ocean to Europe in a matter of hours. We also seem to be making very little progress in solving the problems of war, violence, famine, and even liberty itself. And while I think all of us here today are grateful for the good things that we have nice homes, we have good automobiles, and we have all the fineries of life. We have planes that take us where we need to go, and powerful medicines that heal us when we're sick, and electronic devices. We have to admit that each of these brings with it their own set of problems that have to be solved. And it's been said it's easier to make a living than it is to make a life. And we know that is true. That is true this morning. Well, it will be a difficult thing to be able to hold things together at the end of the age. And I think we see today all the turmoil that's going on in our country and in our world. You know, we were just rocking along and our economy was booming. Then all of a sudden a virus named Corona came and visited us and the whole world. And it's disrupted life. And it possibly could destroy the economies of the whole world. All because of a virus. It reminds us of how dependent we are upon God. We need God. We don't have the answers, but God does. And we need to bow down before Him in prayer and ask God, heal our land. And help all of us to bow down our knees and our will to the will of God and to serve Him with all of our heart. Well, the Roman Empire gave the appearance of strength and endurance, but clay simply reminds us of their weakness. Society today is being held together by treaties, but treaties can be broken. Promises that can be ignored, and traditions that can be forgotten, organizations that can be disbanded, and money-making enterprises that can fail. All of these are iron mixed with clay. I remind you this morning that we serve a God that is eternal. He is eternal. He never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. He has always been and He will always be. But we are immortal. You see, we have a beginning, but we have no end. The Bible said that God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and the soul of a man will never die. We're going to live on somewhere, either heaven or in hell, for the rest of our life. I remind you that it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to die in their sins and go to hell. But if folks don't repent and turn to the Lord for forgiveness of sin and take Him as personal Savior, that's where they're going to spend their eternity. Well, that brings us to the fourth truth. Jesus Christ will return one day to destroy His enemies, and He will reign supreme. I remind you that the next thing on the calendar is the rapture of the church. That could happen at any moment. It could happen today before this day is over with, that the Lord Jesus Christ splits the eastern sky and He comes back. And the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has a plan for His people, that He is going to come and redeem us out of this world and take us to a place that He's especially prepared for those that love Him. The next thing on the agenda, and as I heard David Jeremiah speak this morning on television before I came to church, he mentioned the fact that Antichrist is probably already present in the world. He just hasn't raised up his ugly head. But the scripture tells us that he will come from a 10-nation confederacy in Europe. It is simply the personification of the old Holy Roman Empire back during the days of the Roman Empire. I remind you that he will come and he will have power. In fact, the scripture tells us that he has a bow but no arrow, so he's a man of peace. And he will come and he will have great oratory. He's a politician. And he's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel for 7 years. And when that peace treaty is signed, it will signify the start of the tribulation period. 7 years of peace. And so during the first 3.5 years of that peace, Israel is able to rebuild the temple and to reestablish the Old Testament sacrificial system of worship. But at the end of 3.5 years, he being Antichrist and a personification of the devil, his ugly head raises up and he reveals his true nature. And he goes and puts his image in the temple and calls all the world to bow down and worship him. What Satan always wanted, he's going to have for a little time as the Antichrist, that they bow down, they worship him. Well, it looks like Satan is in control, but the Bible said the last 3.5 years will be a day of wrath. A day of wrath. The wrath of God will fall upon the earth as never before. And it'll all climax in the fact of the Battle of Armageddon, when the armies of the world, the evil empire, goes against the Lord Jesus Christ and his soldiers. And you know the story, how that God wins the battle. And it's so decisive that the scripture says blood ran down as a river for 200 miles, the depths of a horse's bridle. And it all ends up in Revelation chapter 20, when it tells us that Satan, as the Lord comes in the white throne judgment, Satan and all of his imps, the Bible said it will be cast into the lake of fire. And then it goes on to say that all of those that do not believe, all of those that do not accept the Lord as personal Savior, they too will spend all eternity in that place when death and hell, the devil and all of his imps will be cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible said this is the second death. But you know, God doesn't want anybody. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants the whole world to go to heaven. He sent his son that all of us could go to that place that he's provided for us in heaven. All you have to do, whether you're here in the parking lot or whether you're on Facebook, all you have to do is just admit that I've sinned. And the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That's you, me, all of us. We have to ask for forgiveness. If you're sorry for your sins and you want God's forgiveness, all you have to do is ask him, Lord Jesus, I have sinned against you and I am sorry. And I want you to forgive me right now. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. I hope wherever you are that if you haven't done that, you'll do it today. Thank you for being with us today. Let's pray.